God has richly blessed His creation by giving us insight into the hereafter. The big news in the gospel of Christ is that there is eternal life somewhere beyond the grave, and Jesus Christ has opened the gate for forgiven sinners. Mankind has only known this within the last 2,000 years, since the coming of Christ, and we have learned it only because our Creator, our Heavenly Father, has revealed it in His book, the Bible. God has indeed richly blessed us. In this world, we find plenty of tribulation. Job said that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job 14, verse 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10. Notice, friends, that all of the trouble that's in this verse. We're troubled on every side, he says. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are cast down. And who are the we? Well, the we are Christians. Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." John 16, 33. Yes, humans face many dangers in the world, and death is, of course, the final enemy. But because Jesus overcame death by His resurrection, those who believe and obey Him will also be raised from the dead. That's right. Death, then, becomes only a bump in the road of our existence here on this earth. For the Christian, death is only the beginning of the great eternal life that stretches beyond. Therefore, we're not greatly disturbed by death. The hope that Jesus gives us motivates us to live differently in this world. As the Apostle Paul said, we do not lose heart. That is, we do not become discouraged. We are confident. We are motivated. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul continues this line of thought. He talks more about this confidence that motivates Christians to live righteously every day. He wrote in verse 1, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Christian, you know you have a building of God. This tent that we now live in, this body, it shall be dissolved. But God has something for us that is eternal. It can never be destroyed. It is permanent. The body we now live in groans. Paul says that it groans for two reasons. Number one, that our earthly bodies groan because we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Have you ever been so excited about a coming event that you could hardly sleep? When I was a child, my parents would tell me something that was planned for the next day. Oh, I could hardly wait. I would awake in the night thinking about the coming day. I would be wondering, when will it get daylight so that we can begin? Well, this is the kind of groaning Paul writes about in this section. There is coming this wonderful event when I will exchange this body for an eternal body. Now that is exciting to think about. Especially is that great event longed for when there is something troubling our earthly bodies. That's right. When the body is sick, close to death, nothing else can be done for you to live in this world any longer, then the wonderful event of eternity closes in. We can hardly wait. I remember my mother being in this kind of situation. She just longed for the day when she could put aside this body. We're no longer confident of living here any longer, and so we're anxiously awaiting eternity to be clothed upon with a body made without hands, where we will never be found naked. But there is another reason why our earthly bodies groan. "For we that are in this tabernacle," Paul writes, "do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up by life." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. Oh, yes. We live in a burdened body, do we not? We have many burdens to bear. There are heartaches. and headaches and body aches. We live in a mortal body. That means that this body can die. It is a burdened body. Christians are confident that our mortality will be swallowed up by life. That's right. By the power of Jesus Christ, we will trade mortality for immortality. Because of this great hope that we have, Christians are always confident. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But we are willing rather to be absent from the body in order to be present with the Lord. Now that willingness, that great hope, empowers Christians to live and work for Christ. Yes, indeed it does. Paul says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Why does the Christian work so hard at being a Christian? Why does the Christian every day attempt to overcome sin? It's because we labor for that which is to come, that whether present or absent, present here in this body or absent from this body, we may be accepted by Jesus Christ. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. Christians are taught to be faithful to Christ. We want to be accepted by him. And so we do those things that please Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. How do we know what to do to be accepted by him? God has revealed this information in the Bible, especially the New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are teachers who teach that a Christian cannot be lost once they are saved. Well, this makes no sense. Why would Paul teach us that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ if the outcome is already decided? And why would Paul teach that everyone will receive the things done in his body, whether good or bad, if a Christian can no longer do those things in the body that are bad, that would cause him or her to be lost? You see, once saved, always saved, does not harmonize with the Holy Spirit's teaching in the New Testament. That's right. Now it is true that Christians have great confidence, for we have confidence in God's promises of help. Paul says that Christians have the earnest of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. God's Holy Spirit lives in Christians. That's right. Paul asked the Corinthians this question, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Or, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Yes, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, helps Christians to live for Christ. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Well, since the Holy Spirit is the one who dictated the writing of the Bible, we will find the Spirit's instructions for you and me in the pages of our Bibles. When we rightly divide the Word of God, we will learn that the New Testament of Jesus Christ is the Constitution for the Christian. It is the law of the New Testament. It is the law of Christ. The New Testament fulfills the Old Testament because Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. That's right. So Christians live and follow the Holy Spirit's instructions that can be read in the New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot submit to God's law. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Christians, on the other hand, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Romans 8, verses 7 and 9. Now if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8, verse 11. Friends, God's Holy Spirit helps the Christian to conquer his fleshly sins. That's right. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Romans 8, 13 and 14. Yes, the Holy Spirit helps us to conquer our fleshly sins. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, the Bible says. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Yes, friends, Christians are exceedingly confident about the future, our eternal future, the future that lies beyond death and the grave. And so we carry this confidence wherever we go in the earth. We're no longer afraid of death. This confidence does not come from our good deeds. It comes from Jesus Christ, His sacrifice for our sins. It comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. It comes because we are helped by the great God of heaven who created us all. If you're a Christian then, friend, aren't you glad? If you're not a Christian, then don't you want to be? The churches of Christ are ready to assist you in your obedience to Jesus Christ. Become a Christian. Don't wait.
While we in love for you are praying, don't wait. Don't wait too long. Accept His word and come obeying, O soul. Don't wait too long. Don't wait, don't wait too long, too long. Don't wait, don't wait too long, too long. Decide today and come to Jesus, oh soul. Don't wait too long. Don't wait. Oh soul, don't wait.